So, for this sermon today, let's leave God out of it, okay? Thought that might at least get your attention for me to say that today. Might sound odd or scandalous to say I'm going to leave God out of a sermon. But what I really intend with that is to say that about this parable, the parable of the vineyard that we heard Jesus tell in Matthew, the vineyard and the owner and the laborers, the unorthodox wage-paying practices of the owner. What I'm saying about this parable is let's leave God out of it as a character that we think is being referred to in this story. What I'm saying is that as we hear this story, rather than the typical way that we're often told that it must be that God is the vineyard owner here, that we can try to find a different way into it. Because usually what we say is God is the vineyard owner, and then the challenge is which one of the workers that you identify yourself with or others as part of what keeps it interesting. But it all starts with God as the vineyard owner and plays out from there. But I realize this week that I have a problem with that interpretation. And the problem is not with the parable. The problem is with me. And the problem is I am too comfortable with that interpretation. Too comfortable hearing the parable that way. Because with my own particular place on the theological spectrum, I'm actually very pleased to hear about a vineyard owner, who is God, who treats everyone unexpectedly well. It's a parable that I can use to justify my own universalist tendencies of God's inclusive love for all. And as a bonus, I can then use the character of the grumbling workers to critique others who have less open and progressive views than I do. So it all works out very well for me, this parable, very comfortably. But the problem is, I don't believe Jesus told parables in order to make me feel comfortable, or anyone else, for that matter. Certainly there are parables that have softer edges and some that are plenty harsh already as we receive them. But what I believe Jesus is up to in using parables as a teacher and preacher is shifting people out of their usual view of things, of self, of God, of life, of others, and interjecting a different vision. It's a vision that Jesus calls the kingdom of heaven. Not a heaven first about future or afterlife, but the heaven of God's ways present on earth. Sometimes the shift is more subtle, sometimes it's a jolt, but it's always a way of challenging, changing, opening up the listener to a different paradigm, a different way of seeing. And such a shift is always uncomfortable in some way. So I decided that my challenge in listening to this parable is to listen to it in a way that makes me uncomfortable. And in the process, to cause you some discomfort too, just to let you know my intentions. And the best way that I could come up to do with that was, as I said at the start, to leave God out of it. And to listen to this parable instead as a story which simply speaks all about us. All about us human beings and the relationships among us. A parable in which Jesus offers an image of what those images look like in this peculiar reality called the kingdom of heaven. So if we do that for this parable with God out of it, then where would you see yourself in it? I think we could try on the different roles, the vineyard owner, the long laboring workers, the last minute laborers who are paid full wages. We could see what each of those evokes, and that's a good thing to do. But I'd like to focus on that character of the vineyard owner, the one we usually think of as God, because it struck me that this character was the place of greatest disruption and discomfort for me in the story, and here's why. At first read, it's actually a pretty cool role to take on, with the vineyard owner doling out those surprisingly generous wages and then dealing with the wine of the vineyard laborers with that clever turn of phrase, "Is your eye evil because I am good?" It's a cool role, that is, when it's God. But if I step into that role, if I'm the vineyard owner, then I start to have some questions and some concerns. Because is this really any way to run a vineyard? It might make me look generous for a day, but it's hardly an economically sustainable model, is it? It's not practical. It's not even fair. I mean, what's better in the long run? That I lavishly dole out some pay to some part-timers, or that I manage the vineyard responsibly for the long haul? Just maybe those whining full-time laborers are the real voice of wisdom here. They know it's no good for anyone if this vineyard goes bankrupt. And the reason that I suddenly have so many concerns when I take on that role is because I can feel in my gut what this is really talking about. I can feel deep in my soul that this isn't just about vineyards and wages at all. This is a vision of life in which people are treated not by what they deserve, but by generosity. And that is an uncomfortable feeling, because I realize that I'm being challenged to do something that is difficult for me, to put aside what I know is so correct and practical and sustainable and fair and justifiable. Instead, approach those who deserve nothing from me with a generosity of spirit, with dignity, and with humanity. I think this parable very much echoes the words of Jesus that Pastor Jill helped us to listen to last week, forgiving 70 times 7, 77 times. A view of life that does not calculate what is deserved, but instead is nurtured by an insistent, persistent generosity of spirit toward others. Now, this is complicated, because we know of all the circumstances of victims and injustice and harm in life that shouldn't just be set aside. But there's nothing here that's meant to diminish or put aside those realities. Rather, what's given here is a deeply personal claim for each one that each person has power in life to not have the spirit taken from them that seeks another's good, that wants the good for others, no matter what. The power to refuse to be embittered by life or to be trapped by the practicalities of life. A choice of generosity of spirit that is yours to carry out in life. It is empowering in that way. And it is very difficult. Lord, have mercy. I fail at it every single day. I fail at it in the ways that I talk about and think about others. I fail at it in relationships with family and friends and with my congregation, with you. It's probably the most dangerous thing I've ever said from the pulpit. It's so difficult to put aside my correctness, my sense of what is justifiable and fair. So difficult not to lead with what I think people deserve from me, and instead to start with, and when I fail, to start over and over and over again with a generous spirit, wanting the best for, wanting abundance for another. I fail at it every day, and then I'm encountered by this story, so I will keep trying. A choice of generosity and abundance to carry out in life. And you know, as difficult as it is for me, the funny thing is that I consider that it also occurs to me that that is very much the way that I want others to treat me. Not with what I deserve, but with generosity and grace. Which helps me to see and to believe and to trust that as a vineyard owner in my own right and you in yours, none of us will go bankrupt from generosity. You could say this sermon is a very personal, individual focus message about the way you and I make choices in our lives. I look at all that's going on in our world, so much turmoil and so much need, And although as an individual I can feel powerless, I do think there's something important still in focusing on renewing who I am as a person of faith in Jesus Christ, how I will treat others. But let's not sell this parable short as just personal either. Because even as I focus on what it means for us as individuals, there is at the same time something very broad, even global, expressed in this parable. It's not just about a personal shift in vision. It's a paradigm to bring to community and politics, to economics and ethics, to nations and laws. Because all of those are webs of relationships in our lives that are deeply embedded in a you get what you deserve paradigm for life. It's so embedded in it that we may even assume that get what you deserve is true. It is not true. The way that we look at our economics, at our care for children and elderly, at our relationships of nations, at education, at healthcare, it does not have to be about you get what you deserve. It can be founded instead on a vision of generosity that realizes that the good of the other is the good of you, in all the meanings that that word you has. I mean, let's look around at this world. How is a get what you deserve vision for life working out for all of us? Not so great. Perhaps our world needs to hear a parable about a vineyard. Hear it in a way that causes discomfort and that calls for different choices about how to operate the vineyards of this world. The very personal can become very global very quickly. I said at the start of this sermon today that we would leave God out of it for the parable. I think that's good to do for some creative discomfort. But the beauty is that even as we leave God out of the parable, God is present in the storyteller, embodying the very vision of life that the story expresses. In Jesus, God disrupts the storyline of this world, disrupts get what you deserve, disrupts cautious practicality, disrupts order and fairness, and embodies a generosity of life that is individual and global in its reach. Lots of people told Jesus, you can't do things that way. And that's what people will tell you and us too if we're living out this parable. Oh, that's the very kind of wine we should be making. That's the very kind of reaction we should be getting from others in this vineyard of life, to which we can simply offer for them to join in this vision of generosity. It is uncomfortable. It is good. It is the way of the kingdom of heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.